When the day is dark
you. believe he's alive right now. Thank you, singers. Get your Bible in your hand and go to the book of St. John, chapter 10. I'll read one verse there. I want us to listen to something carefully. I want to ask every person in this building that has a Bible with them. If you don't, bring it next time, okay? Open your Bible and keep it open, because I'm going to preach scripturally. I'm going to preach from the Bible. I'm going to give you verse after verse. I believe I have a message straight from the Heavenly Father. I am preaching this morning. Now listen carefully. Preaching on feelings versus knowledge. Feelings versus knowing. How many can get those words with me now? What am I preaching? Feeling versus knowing. Which is the most important in your life? What you feel or what you know? What you feel or what you know? The word feeling or emotion is in the Bible 11 times. The word know is in the Bible over 100 times. The Bible is not built on emotion or feeling. The Bible is built on knowing. 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 And I'm not talking about just knowing like a book. I'm talking about like knowing in a revelation knowledge. In a Holy Ghost given knowledge. The reason nobody can be saved until there is a conviction of the Holy Ghost is because the Holy Ghost alone can touch the realm of your true spiritual knowledge. You can have knowledge without the Holy Ghost, but it's simple earth knowledge, flesh knowledge, knowledge that will do you no spiritual good. But there is a knowledge in this Bible that is made manifest by the Holy Spirit. That knowledge will take you through life like sailing on a rowboat straight toward the city. That life will take you in a straight way, in a pure way, the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge given to you by the Holy Spirit. If you go by your feelings, you're going to have many turns and topsy-turvy experiences, and life's not going to be very real and very sweet. Feelings are deceiving. Every religion in the world has feelings in them. You can look at a bunch of guru worshipers and watch them as they act out their feelings, and they will be no different from watching a Benny Hinn concert. Just a bunch of emotion. Just a lot of feelings. But all kinds of deceptions. All kinds of make-beliefs. I was told this morning of a dear woman who is in her late earthly existence. She's had a stroke. She's had a heart attack. She's in a wheelchair. And she still has feelings about what happened to her when she was a young child. She said, I was saved. And I can't ever be lost. And nobody can take me out of the Father's hand. And yet she has no relationship with Christ. Simply going by the feeling of something she heard when she was a child. Now, I want you this morning to get a picture of the difference between feelings and knowledge. I'll read you one verse in John 10 and 4. And it says, Jesus, this parable spake Jesus unto them. But they understood him not. I'm sorry, wrong verse. But whosoever putteth forth his own sheep. But when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Did you notice that powerful word? For they know his voice. Know or what you know versus what you feel. Father, help me preach this morning. I've got a message that you've poured into my heart, and I am thrilled for the thrill of preaching it. And I pray you will give your servant wisdom on a level greater and more profound than he has ever known, Lord. I am desperate for your wisdom, Lord. I'm desperate for your direction, Lord. And I claim it so in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Now, keep your finger in your Bible. Keep it open. Let's start, if we might, in this book of a very important book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want us to look this morning at the difference between your feelings and your knowledge. And of which one do you trust? Of which one are you willing to put your utter faith in? Are you willing to put your eternal destiny in the hands of your feelings? Or would you prefer to put your eternal destiny in the hands of your knowledge? Let me do a question and answer moment. How many of you would rather put your destiny of eternity in the hands of what you know rather than just something you feel? Let me see your hand. You're kind of hesitant, I tell. I'm not trying to use a trick on you. I'm trying to get you to understand. Feelings are 10 cents a dozen. Knowledge is worth its weight in gold. Could I say that again? Feelings are 10 cents a dozen. Knowledge is worth your weight in gold. Amen? Because knowledge in this Bible, in the spiritual sense, in the spiritual relationships, it is so genuine and so real. And this Bible is so full of it. This Bible is full of knowledge. This Bible almost never has a feeling of just emotion. Emotion alone is dangerous as the devil. The devil exists by putting feelings on you that are not real. Every temptation you have is an emotion from the devil. Everything that comes against you is an emotion or a feeling that Satan effects upon you. I've been tried so many times by feelings. And if I would have jumped at the very thought and the very moment of that feeling, I would have made a mess. But I learned years ago to never trust my feelings until I tried them on the anvil of the Bible and the work of the Holy Spirit. I learned that every feeling had to have a basis. And I would search for the base in the Bible. Now, there are wonderful feelings in the Christian life. There are wonderful moments when you feel the shout of heaven come down over your soul. The singing this morning, Brother Gans, has been full of feeling. And we wouldn't want singing that had no feeling in it. We would not. We love singing with feeling. We love to worship with feeling. We love to sense the presence of the Lord. But it goes beyond that. That's only the blessing on the side. The blessing on the altar that God gives us. And I thank God for every joyous experience I've ever had in Christ. I put on Facebook yesterday a picture of the old farmhouse I lived in with my family when I was converted to Christ. I was 16 years old. And I was the worst little sinner probably in the community. It was terrible. It was terrible how I lived. I didn't know any better. I just lived by the emotion of that crowd of farm workers and people that came on the farm with us. I just lived by whatever they felt. It was just all a big old game of feelings and sin. But when I found Jesus, I must have been blessed beyond my worth over many times, because immediately there came this knowledge of Him. When I was saved, He gave me a sense of Him. And I could immediately get on my knees somewhere and pray till I knew He'd shown up. Till I knew He was there. Wasn't a feeling, although there was feelings in it. It was just a knowledge of the Lord loves me. I belong to Him. And it's a wonderful experience. It's a wonderful life. I know that I know that I know Him. How many of you can say, I know that I know that I know that I know Him? Well, raise your hand, would you? I know that I know that I know Him. Sure, I have feelings. I love the good ones. But I've learned a long time ago to watch them and to never become captured by them, to never become overwhelmed by them, to enjoy them for today, but make sure I had knowledge for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Is that beautiful? Do you hear what Brother Chambers is preaching to you? Don't live by feelings. The church world is nothing today. I should say the majority. The majority of the church world is nothing but emotions. Nothing but feelings. I go to churches and the preacher's preaching something that has no biblical base, and people are shouting him down because his emotions have stirred up their emotion, and they're moving with the emotion, not with what the preacher's saying. And we have a church world, they're moving the pulpit out, they're taking communion table out, they're taking the altars out, because they go to church to have an emotional experience. They go to church to have an emotional time. And it's all caught up in emotion. And I'm telling you, it's as dangerous as the devil. Somebody help me. Anybody on my side? It's as dangerous as the devil. You want this truth. You want the knowledge of that Bible at the basis of your knowledge of truth. Now, let's see what Apostle Paul said. You talk about words of wisdom. This man is speaking with great words of Holy Ghost wisdom. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's begin reading, we might, with verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Don't sound like a lot to shout about there, does it? Sound like a man who was waiting on God, who was listening to the voice of the Supreme. Listen carefully as we read on. I was with you in weakness and fear, much trembling. My speech was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith, now you got to hear me. Everybody out there, listen. Are you listening? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He didn't want one of them to live by some wisdom that some man had taught them. Pay no attention to anything I say that's not in that Bible, because you can't trust in it. And if I just preach up here to make me sound like I'm such a wise little dude, and I really have it, and I can stir your emotions, and I don't give you some truth that helps you to be anchored in the wisdom of God, I have failed you miserably. I want you anchored in God. I want you anchored in the knowledge of Him. I want you anchored in the revelation of the Holy Spirit. I want you anchored in what the Spirit says and does deep in your heart, far, far bigger and far greater than the feelings you might have of some euphoria. Oh no, I don't want to give you feelings of euphoria. I want to give you feelings of confidence and assurance and joy that Jesus is talking to you. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the knowledge, the power of God. Howbeit, now listen, he don't stop there. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Oh yeah, that's wisdom in the Bible. Oh yes, there's feelings in the Bible. Everything that goes with me speaking up here, everything that goes with what any minister might say to you, can have a level of just pure old flesh, or it can rise to the level of the sweet anointing of the Holy Ghost, so that your faith is not standing on what Brother Chambers has said to you, or your faith is not standing on some great word of wisdom that might slip out of my tongue accidentally. God wants you to stand on the faith which is in Christ, that you know Him. That you know Him really, truly. Now, this is the point where It's going to take me a moment to get you to understand. This is very, very important. The knowledge of the Lord is a genuine knowledge that rests on your mind. The knowledge of the Lord is a genuine feeling that your mind can grasp and understand. But the knowledge of the Lord, far beyond just your mind understanding it, there is a spiritual understanding that is bigger than all of us put together. When you really know the Lord, you don't just know about Him. You don't just know His words. You don't just know what He's saying to you. You know that you know that you know Him. You know that the feeling is bigger than your mind. It is bigger than all your understanding. It becomes a peace. It becomes a satisfaction. I don't know how to describe it. I told the Lord as He gave me this sermon that I couldn't say all that I wanted to say, and I felt it had to help me. I really believe that, but you got to understand that knowing the Lord is more than knowing about the Lord. It is a knowledge that reaches bigger and beyond yourself and reaches into the realm of the spiritual, and you know. Do you grasp that? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Oh, Shikri, raise your hand with me a moment. Holy Ghost, you got to speak to my people. Holy Ghost, don't let them hear the words of this pastor. Let them hear what I'm trying to get across to them. You can know Him in such a manner that if He would suddenly walk in those doors, you'd know that it was Him. And you would be able to say, Jesus, I love You. And He'd be able to look right back at you and say, I know You because You also know Me. There's a knowledge that goes between the two. It goes from you to God. It comes from God to you. It goes from you to Christ. It comes back from Christ to you. It's a knowledge that takes your mind into captivity. It's a knowledge that once you meet Him and know that you know Him, you don't never want to leave Him. I'm telling you, from the moment I was saved, I have never wanted to depart His grace. The knowledge that came and got a hold of me just took me completely captive. It's but like men and women. Now listen to me. I'm going to be real plain right here. There's men and women out there today who all they want is to know a woman or to know a man. They call it one night stands. One night stands. Where it's nothing but a little titillation of an emotional experience that when it's over, it must be the most miserable feeling in the world. Thank God I've never had it. But I want you to know that knowledge of a woman or that knowledge of a man that does not move into the realm of marriage and commitment and surrender to one another is nothing but an emotion. It may have some of the same feelings. It may have some of the same reaction in the physical, but it's as empty as a gourd. But when you meet the woman of your life or the man of your life and it becomes a marriage that's made in heaven, it's a different world. That's exactly the example I want you to get in the Christ and the knowing of the Lord. I want you to know it isn't just a feeling that my sins are gone. It's not just a feeling that I'm a new creature and those things are wonderful. It's not just a feeling that I've been changed. That's wonderful. But it's a feeling that I have found someone who's going to be the master of my life forever. I've found someone whom I'm making the Lord of all. I've found someone whom I'm giving my everything to. And I'm going to trust my life to Him. I'm going to trust my tomorrow for Him. I'm going to trust my eternity to Him. That's the knowledge I'm talking about. Raise your hand and help me. God, I want these people to experience the true knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they'll never want another as long as they live. See? The church is full of people who are in and out and up and down. Like they're on a roller coaster. Like they're riding an elevator. Today they're on the top floor. Tomorrow they're in the basement. Since I found Jesus, I've had some dark experiences, but I've never been in the basement one time. Somebody's got to help me. I've never been put down to where I couldn't stand right up. The righteous man falleth 7 times and yea riseth again. That's the experience of knowing the Lord. Hallelujah. The devil can't get you down and hold you. The devil can't get you down and twist you around. The devil can't make mincemeat out of you because you know him. You know that you know him. You have got acquainted with him. He has become real to you. Does everybody understands this? Raise your right hand. Well, I believe I'm getting through. See, I want you to have emotion. Yes. But I want it to be based on the wisdom which he gives. This world has got all kinds of wisdom. But you listen to this. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet, not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of the world. For they come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. See, the reason I'm having trouble trying to make sure I get my point across is because I'm talking about something that moves into the mystery realm. It moves beyond what the flesh can know. It moves beyond the limitations of the flesh. Your old flesh is so limited. This hurts my heart. There'll be a multitude of people in hell. I mean a multitude who really thought they had the real thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. I got a sister. Her name is Louise. She's as dear as she can be. She's 89, I think it is. And she is so religious. So religious. But I don't see any evidence she's ever knew him. And I weep. Oh, I'm weeping for her. I don't want her to go to hell. I'll try my best to talk to her and say, honey, don't you understand what I'm saying? You got to know him personally. You got to have an acquaintance with him that only the Holy Spirit can give you in what is called the new birth experience. You got to be born again. And when he comes in, it won't be knowing about him. It will be knowing him. And we've tried that in every one of you. Raise your hand if you've been trying that with some people you love and you're not getting anywhere. They just seem to not hear you. Let me tell you what is wrong. The devil has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. We've got to get this gospel flowing through us with such power and such anointing that it can penetrate that darkness. You know somebody in this condition, raise your hand. Everybody in here surely would raise their hand. They know somebody. I plead the blood for them right now. Will you join me? I plead the blood for that dark mind. I plead the blood for that person who the devil has blinded their mind. I plead the blood for them. Devil, take your hands off of them. That the light of the gospel can penetrate. Are you getting my message? The feelings that you can have in religion are just as titillating. You remember the story I told? Not a story, but an experience I told you about. Benny Hinn was coming to Charlotte. I trust him like I trust rattlesnakes. I followed his words, his doctrines. They're terrible. And I made an announcement on the radio. I said, listen, I want to say to everybody in the Charlotte area and everybody around anywhere close, if you go to the Benny Hinn meeting and you get a miracle, I want to interview you and tell the people in my audience of your miracle. I said that loud and clear. I had one person who took it. A lady called me from up 85, where Morganton, from Morganton. She said, Reverend Chambers, I came with my church, my whole church, the Assembly of God in Morganton. I came with my church to the Ben Hinn meeting. She said, we was all sitting together. And he flung his coat in our direction, and every one of us went down on the floor together. The whole crowd, at the same instant, down on the floor. She said, I was convinced, man, this is God. So I went up to him and told him what my problem was. He laid his hand on me, and my problem disappeared like it would disappear into the smoke. It was gone. Then he looked at me, said, God's called you to preach. God wants you to become a preacher. God wants you to become a preacher. So she goes home with her healing and this word from Benny that she's supposed to be a preacher. And for days, the Spirit is dealing with her. She's got, I think it was 6 kids, 8 children, all of them little kids. She's a mother. She's got 6 or 8 kids. And she said, Brother Chambers, I knew God hadn't called me to preach. And I understood everything that happened to me, but I didn't understand that one. And for days, I dealt with this Spirit telling me I had to preach. And finally, I was on my knees in prayer, and I said, now, God, I know what I'm feeling. I know what I'm hearing. I know what the sound of this means. And I am not called to preach. And so right now, I deny that Spirit trying to put me out there doing something I have no ability for, and my family certainly cannot bear it. And she said, the moment I said that, the healing that I've had disappeared. I was right back in the same physical condition when I walked up on that stage at the Benny Hinn meeting. I said, lady, that proves beyond a doubt that that was a false healing, a paranormal miracle, a paranormal healing to take you for a dream and to take you off in a no man's land and eventually destroy you. And God delivered you because your wisdom was bigger than the emotion you had from that feeling. It was gone. And I've read the stories of so many paranormal miracles that wind up taking people in some fantasy land and far from the way of the Lord. I've met them. I've known them. I've dealt with them ever since the whole charismatic movement started. And I'm telling you, there's a real way and there's a false way. And if God's got something for you to do, he don't need to go to Benny Hinn to tell him. He can come to you and tell him. If you know God good enough to hear from God, you don't need somebody in between you and God. Woo, hallelujah. Are you helping me? Church, there's a difference in emotion, feeling, and knowledge. Knowledge. I want to know him. I want to know him. I stand here in front of you, and I tell you that the greatest thing in my life has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with my body, has nothing to do with my car, my house, anything I have, but the fact that I know him. There's nothing greater. When you come to the place in your faith, if you're not there, please don't put it off. Please understand that the Lord is waiting for you to learn his voice and to know him when he speaks. The Lord is yearning for you to become so acquainted with him that you know what he says to you and you can obey him in a moment. Oh, yes. Woo, somebody raise your hand before I move on. I want to make sure you understand. This knowledge of him is far beyond the wisdom of a man. It is the wisdom of a mystery. Brother Chambers, are you saying that Christianity is a mystery? You better believe it is. You know what a Bible mystery is? That which can be known only by divine inspiration. That's what a Bible mystery is. You can look the word up when you get home. The word mystery, in the biblical sense, means that which you know only because it has been revealed to you. Every one of you need to quit depending on what some preacher has said to you. You need to quit depending on what Brother Chambers has said to you. You need to get on your face somewhere with your Bible and stay there until you get a hold of God for yourself. Until he walks right into your presence with a knowledge of his love and his mercy. And you become acquainted with him. How many believe you can know him? Did he not say, my sheep know my voice? I don't know the voice of God. Then are you a sheep? Are you just been playing around? Instead of getting serious that you can come to know his voice. You can know when he speaks. And I want to tell you something. When you're on the odyssey toward that destiny, you're striving, you're hungry, you're living in your Bible, you're searching the scripture, and you're saying, I want to know you, Lord. I want to really know you, Lord. I want to warn you that there will be moments when you can be led astray. If you go to a church that is careless with their emotions, you are in danger. You are in danger. When I hear of some of you going to a particular church, I always tremble for you and pray. Because I know how quick an emotion can get you and take you down the wrong path. I know how quickly some idea or some little thought, some little imagination can take hold of you and lead you astray. So you always, every thought in the spiritual realm that comes to you, go to that Bible and search it out. Go to that Bible and say, God, I'm not taking my imagination on its own merits. I've got to have a witness from the Bible. I could tell you about Sister Ginger. It's been a long time ago. This is a little holiness I get to preach. She had just got saved. And she really had got saved. Ginger Charles is really saved. Anybody believe that but me? I thought you did. She's really saved. And she has been saved a few days. And she'd made an appointment to get her hair cut. Uh-oh. The preacher's getting on standards all of a sudden. Yeah, I am. I don't mind. I'm just as proud of the Bible as I can be. So she goes to her barber, her beauty parlor, and they set her down. And the woman gets out her scissors and said, now, how short you want it? And all of a sudden, her heart smites her to the core. God, a woman's long hair is her glory. I've never read that in the Bible. And all of a sudden, here I am sitting here in the parlor, and they're fixing to cut my hair, and all of a sudden, I'm convicted that I shouldn't have my hair cut off. She says to the lady, hey, ma'am, please, I'm going to change my mind. I just want you to wash it and curl it and fix it pretty. I don't want any cutting today. The woman said, what's happened to you, Ginger? I just, all I know how to tell you is, I don't know what it is. I just know it sounds real, and I'm not going to go any further. And she went straight home. She got her Bible. She opened her Bible, and would you believe it fell open to 1 Corinthians 11? How many of you would believe that? Let me see your hand if you really believe that. Fell open to 1 Corinthians 11. And she read, look. A woman's long hair is her glory. I didn't know that was in the Bible. I think you called me immediately, didn't you? Brother Chambers, I got to tell you what happened. I went to have my hair cut, and all of a sudden I had this feeling. I just got... saved, and I haven't ever heard this preach. And all of a sudden I got the feeling, and I come home and open my Bible, and what do I find? 1 Corinthians 11. You ought to heard me shouting. Hallelujah. See, that's the kind of holiness that lasts. A lot of people get holiness because the preacher wants them to get holiness. I want you to be holy, but I don't want you to be holy because I said you ought to be holy. I want you to get in your Bible and let your Bible teach you everything it has. Wow! Somebody help me shout. Isn't that beautiful? I'll never forget that, Sister Ginger. I remember another lady was in the choir, and she started doing some things that were just so questionable, and I didn't want to take her out of the choir, so I'm going to pray for her for 2 weeks and see what God says. And if he don't deal with her, I'll deal with her. Thank God he didn't let it get to my time. God dealt with her, and those things disappeared out of her life. Do y'all believe in this? So I'm talking about a knowledge of Jesus that causes you to get in your Bible and live by your scripture. Not by Brother Chambers. Not by some standard somebody has. But by what the Bible teaches. That's the knowledge I'm talking about. Now, does that make sense with anybody? Everybody raise your hand if that makes sense with you. And you that have hair that's been cut, don't you think I'm throwing nothing at you? You're just as welcome in this church as you can be. We want you here because we want the Holy Ghost to have a chance to talk to you, just like he talked to Ginger, just like he talks to anybody. Standards of the Bible were never meant to be used as a stick on people's head. They were always meant to be a challenge on the human heart. Did you hear me? I don't use standards to hit you over the head. If you don't want to live them, it won't do me or you no good to live them. Get in your Bible. Get in your Bible. Somebody hear me. Now, we got to go to one more passage, and I know my time's probably up, but I'm not going to worry about it if you won't worry about it. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Listen to this. I want you to hear every bit of it now. Keep your Bible open. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as such in the law of Pharisees. That was Paul's background. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as such in the law of Pharisees. Concerning zeal, he said, I persecuted the church. Persecuted the church. As touching righteousness, he said, which is in the law, I was blameless. He was living everything in the Bible. Everything. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. If you do all the Bible says, and you do it only for your conviction, and your conscience, and your peace of mind, you are no better off. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. Listen to, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, the Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but done, that I may win Christ and be found in him. And be found in him. Are you listening? And be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of the faith, or through the faith. The righteousness of God by faith. Now listen to these final words that I read. That I may know him. Say it with me, would you? That I may know him. Now you can read on when you get home. That passage is absolutely breathtaking. That I may know him. I want to tell you something. The greatest thing that ever happened to a living soul is when suddenly they break through the crud and break through the doubts, break through the thoughts that Satan has put in their head. They break through their disobedience. They break through their stubbornness and their own self-will. And they come to the place that they actually say that I just may know him. That I may know him. That I may know him. That he might enter into my mind and my thoughts and my being by the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. And that I might truly know him. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to a living soul. Hallelujah. Raise a right hand with me. Father, I want to get this congregation to the place that everybody is hungry to know him. Some of you only know about him. I want you to know him. Raise your hands and keep them up there if you know the power of Christ. Believe in the Holy Ghost to do this. I'm at a loss if the Spirit don't put it in their heart. I'm at a loss if God don't speak to you. I'm not here to try to put our standard of holiness on you. That was just a good example. But I want you to discover knowing him. And when you know him, everything will fall in place. You, if you know him, he'll start dealing with your little idle words. He'll start dealing with your tendency to be critical and to complain. He'll start dealing with your habits that are unclean. He'll start dealing with things about your life that are not in a biblical order. When you know him, he'll search you out. He'll look at you from his scope of eternal beauty and power, and he'll teach you the right way. And before you know it, you'll start shining like a new creature with the beam and the glow of Christ upon your face, that I may know him. Now I want everybody in the building that can say with Brother Chambers, I really do want to know him. There may be things I've said that you've never heard before. I do not want them to get in your mind and leave you flustered. I want you to put them on the altar, and I want you to get in your Bible, and I want you to get a hold of God, and I want you to begin to pray and seek God every day of the week, and begin to search your Bible, begin to find your place to pray, and seek the will of God. He'll speak to you at times before you even discover it in the Bible. But then he'll take you to the Bible. God never going to leave you wondering out there in a no man's land. I mean, if God could take a kid like I was. I mean, I was the worst of the lot. Now, don't look at me and be critical. It's all under the blood. It is not there any longer. Been gone a long time. But I remember some of those dirty jokes. I remember some of those deeds of my flesh. I grieved this morning as I was thinking yesterday, as I was remembering where he brought me from. And I was grieving. But then the Holy Spirit said, it's all gone, son. It's all under the blood. New creature by the blood of Jesus. How many of you want to be a really new creature? Some of you have been trying to get better, and you've been trying to be a little bit religious, and some of you have been coming to church a little. Oh, so good to have Woody's wife this morning. I believe you're here, aren't you? Woody's wife. I like old Woody. I want to see him saved so bad. Has to work on Sunday. Lord, give him another job. Give him a job he don't have to work. I believe Woody is about 10 feet from coming to church and giving his life to Christ, but working every Sunday has got him under bondage. Bring him tonight. Hey, that's it. Bring him tonight. Don't let him get out of it. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. It's so wonderful when you know him. When you really know him. If I could help you, if I could help you and I could transfer a little bit of my joy, or Brother Derek's joy, he's got enough for three. Have you noticed him? He bounces like a rubber ball. Just keep on bouncing. Don't you stop. I wish I had six or eight that bounced as much as you do. Listen to me, church. When you grow and you get in that acquaintance with him, that you can say, finally, I really know him. Finally, I really know him. Somebody's listening to me. Finally, I really know him. I've been religious, and I've been calling myself a Christian, and I don't know him. I'm gonna know him. If anybody's feeling this with me, throw your hand up there and get a hold of the altar and hold on for a little while, will you? Just put your hand up there. Get a hold of the altar. I am going to become acquainted with him until I can say I know the Lord. And don't you say that cheaply. Don't you say that until you know that you know. I'm still yearning. I'm still yearning, Brother Dylan, Brother Joe, for a place in him. Oh, he's coming. Yay, what a God we serve. Jesus is the one. Yes, he's the only one. Let him have his way. Until the day is done, when he speaks, you'll know your sins will have to go, all because he loves you so. Brother Joe and Sister Vet and others, would you sing that out? Just sing it out. Everybody else. until stand as you sing. And when he speaks, you'll know your sins. Now sing that again. And I want you to open up your volume this time. Everybody, come on. Yes, because you so the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Holy Ghost, have your way now. Somebody in this building will say, I want to come and pray. I want a closer walk. I want a new touch. Leave your seat and come. Come quickly. Don't wait. Come. Thank you. Thank you. Rick, love all you. Thank you. Oh, sinners, come. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. Come and stand, would you? Come quickly. Anybody in this building, come on, visit us. Just be part of us. Mother and your children back here on my left. Come on, lady. Good to have you visit. Everybody, just come to the front. Come and stand here before the Lord. And let's reach out to him. Could we sing the love of God, Brother Jody? You know that chorus.
A soul, sad exile, was out on life's sea. So burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the heaven of rest. I've can harm, secure in haven of rest. Oh, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe.